So we're excited to have her this morning with us. Amen. Yeah, there are some people out there. I was waiting for a response. I'm like, oh, there are some people here. So we're excited to have you with us this morning, Pastor Mama Pearson.
I just want to sit and talk to everybody.
Okay, just go. Whatever you want to do.
They're all lined up like ducks. Students. Ducks, students.
So whatever you want to do, we'll take you in a way we can get you. So
Enjoying my coffee, talking to Annie. Haven't had a chance to catch up with Annie in a while. She's been on my heart and on my mind for quite some time. Oh. So let's see, I feel like I'm watching you with that microphone. I feel like I'm supposed to have one, but I see I've got one. Great, how are you doing?
Good.
So who wants to say something? Prayer leaders, come on.
Somebody.
Oh, yeah, good.
You come to me, I'm not coming to you.
We can pass you the microphone, though.
We're passing it. Sorry. I need a team. I can't.
Now you're going to chase her. This is fun.
Yeah. See why I have to have a team?
Thank you so much, Pastor Terry. I told you the other day, you are like a role model to me.
Oh, bless you. It is
an honor. Miss Iva, you, the team, the prayers, they've helped my life get to where it is today because of their prayers.
And where is your life today? Tell me how you see your life today.
Oh,
why is that a good thing?
Part of the vision, part of the revival of the capital of the world. You know, I'm a recruiter. My vision is to hire, recruit, in order to build the temple of God. The temple, this is it right here, the revival capital.
Okay,
of the world.
So you know what? Stand up, Marla, and let's pray over her because I'm glad you said that. Because we are believing, I've got some key positions, some in church, some in ministry, and I'm not anxious, but I'm ready, as the Lord is ready. And some of these positions are really important. One of them is our worship leader, and I feel like we've been waiting on somebody for a long time. David Ellis is wonderful. He commutes from California. That's not good. I don't know if y'all realize it or not. He lives in California. And he travels with my dad. That makes it even harder. So I'm looking for somebody that's a campus music director. So someone that can have and help manage both the church and television and the school and super kids all the way up through teenagers and adults. I mean, it's a really big job. But we need that right person who has one hand on the Spirit of God in music in the past, but a real eye to the future and understands cross-generational, how one generation proclaims his works to another. Real easy find, I'm sure. So, and full of faith. So let's just, several of you, just put your hands on her. And who wants to pray that prayer? You have the microphone handy there? Somebody who's got the ointment on you to pray for that. Who is that? Mary Lou. Okay, let's go. Thank
Lord,
you,
Lord. We just praise and thank you for Marlette. She is a blessing to our lives. We thank you. She is anointed, appointed, ready and equipped to recognize and discern the right people that belong in the right places. And we call those people in, Lord, from north, south, east, and west. We call in that music director. We call in all of those positions to come in, Lord. And we thank you that they are chosen by you, and she receives it, she recognizes it, she and anyone else that has anything to do with it, Lord. All of her department, ready. Thank you, Lord, for Marlette and her anointing.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
that anointing
we plead the blood of Jesus
us.
Over her in that department.
Praise God.
In
Praise
Jesus'
God.
Name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that her anointing is at work for us, calling people, bringing them in, bringing the right people in, the right time, the right way. God's blessed us so much with our new youth pastor. We're so excited about Quest. Quest is excited about Quest, and so we're good. We're really doing good. LaVar, I feel like you have something to say. It's all right. She's got to come three rows back, so you got time to think.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think we should pray for Pastor Terry.
Yeah.
This is a very delicate season for her. I watch from afar. You don't see me, you know, too much anymore, but from afar. But for Pastor Terry and Pastor George, for the prophet's office, very important time. So if y'all point y'all hands toward her.
Thank you, Jesus.
We hit it in the spirit first.
Hallelujah.
And we give the Lord praise. Kremiste ombra kai bredi bremisto. She albo my go my dad bread at do did she. Preoco prama so there the yellow bako my ya. At the yellow boat mako mean at the ocean do bakwe my yuma. A bread do green at Bodumri. The bread keep the auto for prenache. Sura rida mano. Shia go a gay a bow by ya ya bako moko. Et bria na mosu sa se ba ye bo ba ba ye ba ka de pro mo ku pri se de ba bo ku a ye o pro ne mesti e pro no ma ku a bo sho de a de ka a ba ka ma ngo mo ye be shi de e pro no mo no mo no. And I thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that the gift of wisdom, Heavenly Father, be elevated in Pastor Terry. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that knowledge and understanding follow quickly behind and pursue the vision, pursue the appointments, pursue the assignment that you have laid upon her heart. I thank you that that vision has mokoshte adolo barda baye bekomana and a medisto preediki premeste preme. De premo umbra, campro masti preede, tumpronomosto estiki prema. Thank you, Father. Meke prenomostiste ede pradoma and a messi de manama. And the prophet's office kete steko prenomosto and a messi prenama. Bre de cri de mostu prebaya baka. Bre mostu pre ma baiki. Bre mostu pre me e de prebaku. She de promostu se prama e de pro de campremeste e de promoku prama. Suna de bre e Christe bo ha ki benestu bre. Ene mestune ma o si da do a ki e be.
Thank you, Lord.
I can only speak this, but I've been reading in 2 Kings 8 and 9 how Elisha the prophet had a very specific role in that day, and how he utilized the office of the prophets, and how he released one to go do his bidding to anoint Jehu. And he released another one to go do this and go do that. But as he was per se heading it up, and you see, he said words, Lord. As he was using wisdom to not per se put so much on himself to do all of this and to do all of that, but to per se use wisdom on how to handle this king, handle that situation, handle this political demonstration, to handle this demonic presence, to handle this evil king, and to handle the king even of Israel. He used wisdom. And I believe this is a season where wisdom and your office as the prophet is going to be very key for today. It's a key because it's going to increase. She, wisdom, is going to settle upon you. Wisdom. Knowledge. It's going to be as faith. You're going to wield them as a sword. You can use them just like you use faith. But that wisdom this year for you is going to be a very, very effective tool to use in this realm today.
Praise God. Thank you, Father. By faith, I take that, receive it, me, for Pastor George, our team, that, Lord, the wisdom of God would envelop us, come upon us, and rise within us in the name of Jesus, and that we declare we have ears to hear the voice of wisdom that cries in the street. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, LeVar. I appreciate your sensitivity. Always love to hear what you have to say, and I love praying, standing next to you. We should just have you come stand around more often. I love having LeVar around. How many of you are believing for, or let me put it this way, you have a sense that there may be a change in some level of your responsibilities or assignment? Doesn't necessarily mean walking away from what you're doing, but some, whether it's addition or a change, a reassignment, or something added to what you're doing, perhaps, or doing what you're doing at another level. You have that? Let me see your hands, everybody. Yes, pretty much everybody in the room. Well, I wanted to encourage you with something. It's not what I had planned. I'm going to be teaching this week to the students about praying out your destiny. So I'll just touch on something, give you a little testimony about it, so that you can add your faith to how a lot of times, well, maybe all the time, I don't know, but your prayer is working. Prayer, not just for your destiny, but prayer is working towards your destiny. So, you know, the Bible says, Jeremiah 29, he knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. They're not for evil, but they're for good, and they're for your welfare and for a good outcome. That's great news. We also know that we have to believe that we receive, and that there are things that we're supposed to pray out. The Bible says he has all of our, his plan for us was already laid out even before there was one of them. Even before there was one of your days, he already had your day timer filled. Amen. So that's great to know. And then Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you the future or reveal the future. I think that that's more than just telling you what the future is. We get leadings. Sometimes we know things specifically, but we rarely know in our heads the fullness of what that plan looks like and what it's going to take to get there and the day by day by day. My dad said to my kids one time, we had a family time together, and all the kids were there, all of them that we had at the time, and I think we had a few of them that were going into college, so this was a number of years ago, and said, so Papa, talk to the kids about how they can know the will of God. He said, well, every day, ask the Lord what it is, his will for you to do today, and then do it. And do that every day, and before you know, you're a week in God's will. And you keep doing it, and then you're a month in God's will. And after a year, you will be exactly where God wants you to be. And after many years, you will be exactly where God wants you to be. But it's daily, every day, asking God what he wants you to do today. So that was good advice. But I want to tell you this little story. Some of you may remember Pastor Gina Linus that was here with us. She was Gina Jennings at the time here with us. She was on staff with us, I guess, about 10 years. But before she was Pastor Gina, she was just Gina. And for a number of years, Gina worked as a editor for Pastor George. He was over the publications department here at the ministry, and she came to work for him. She was actually a marketing writer. She had come to us working from direct mail. She wrote direct mail letters, like wrote letters in ways to get you to give your money. But we did not hire her to do that. And so she had some unlearning before she had some learning to do. First time she wrote a letter or something and suggested to Brother Copeland that we just write this letter this way because it'd bring him more money, she didn't get to say anything else for about an hour. Anyway, but she latched on to faith and grew in faith so much and became such a powerful person. Well, before she came here on staff at the church, she had moved away. Her family had moved to Oklahoma, but she was still working for the magazine and still writing and editing. She would come down here to Fort Worth, I don't know, once a month or something. I knew her, but not very well. She worked for George, and I knew who she was, but I don't know that we'd ever had any length of conversation, just occasional, nothing of any depth. So she decided on her way down from Oklahoma, she thought, I need to pray in tongues to pray out my destiny. So she got in the car and she starts praying in tongues, and it was raining hard. The windshield wipers are going, okay? So she's watching the road carefully, praying in tongues. And she said, the windshield wipers are going. And all of a sudden, in between those wipes, there's my face. And she's like, what's that about? So she prayed in tongues for a few minutes. Let that go. I'm praying about my destiny. There's Pastor Terry again in her face. No. Don't want to pray about her. I'm praying about my destiny. What is this distraction? There I am again. Okay. I guess she needs prayer today. So she prays in tongues for me all the rest of the way from Oklahoma City. So for several hours, prays in tongues. Well, she comes in that day only to find out, I wasn't Pastor Terry then, only to find out that was my last day. If I remember this right, it was my last day at KCM as a television producer, TV department, and director. Okay, she said, well, I guess that's it. Praying for her, and the Lord really needed me to pray for her. Great. So, that was the end of that, right? Or so it seemed. Well, 2.5 years go by, and suddenly Pastor George and I are now, Pastor George and I, we're pastoring the church, 1993. So we start pastoring. About 2 years after that, things were really growing, and the Lord dropped in my heart that I needed help. I didn't know I needed help, but I had this real sense, I really need help. It was in Anaheim, California. Threw myself across the bed, just praying, laying there in the bed, and I just, you know, the Lord will put a prayer in your heart, even if you don't know you need it. And so I just said, Lord, send me help. And it was like a feather that floated down. I said, I don't know how to tell you. I mean, I've had things hit me in the head. This floated down. I sensed it. And it just like this. And it landed on me, and it was Gina's name. Well, Gina Jennings. I wonder what she's doing. I hadn't seen her in years. Well, time to go to service. So I get ready to go back over for the afternoon service, walk into the Anaheim Convention Center, and in front of my face, Gina, what are you doing here? Thought you lived in Oklahoma. Well, we moved to Colorado and been in Colorado for several years. You have? Yes. Really? Colorado, you're in California. Okay. Well, what are you thinking? Well, you know, we're moving back to Texas. Really? Where? Yeah, somewhere over in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Is that right? Really? You know what? When you get moved, I'd like for you to come out and speak to prayer school. Would you do that? Okay. Well, little did I know. I had no idea that Gina had been absolutely terrified. So terrified of any level of public speaking, she couldn't get in an elevator with just one other person. It had to either be a group or by herself. So she had been all this time in Colorado, very isolated, and all she could do while she was there, they wouldn't let her hook in with the church. She said everything she tried came to a dead end, and she saw that the Lord was wanting her to pray. So she would go in her closet for hours at a time. She said it was like this thing I had to pray in tongues. She said, so I took this course about getting over fear of people. She said, I took that. She said, I failed my final test, which was just to stand up in front of a small group of people. And she said, I ran to the bathroom and threw up and couldn't do it. She said, but all this time I'm praying in tongues. And she said, one day on my knees in the dark in the closet, she said, I'm praying in tongues. And she said, something like a bubble. And she said, it came up and out the top of my head. And she said, oh, that's that fear. Well, I didn't know any of this. And so since that time, she had not had any fear. And so I asked her to do that. She's like, okay, test time. So she came. I didn't know. And she spoke to the group. Prayer school. It was marvelous. And so we asked her again, and then the next thing you know, she's coming to help. Next thing you know, she came here, and she was on staff. And about that time, a little lady that was scared spitless coming to us from from the deep south, Miss Iva, coming to us from Alabama at the time, I think, came in and got in a prayer group. I think you came, the first one, I think you came in, I was leading maybe, and
prayer
then
school, yeah.
Prayer school. And then we started doing prayer groups, and she got over in Gina's prayer group. And then, like I said, Gina wound up as a pastor on staff here for, I don't know, I think about 10 years. Well, was she praying out her destiny?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But did she know she was praying out her destiny?
No.
Who was she praying for? She was praying for me. She was just praying for me. And it was 6 years before there was any connection that what she had prayed for me, she just thought it was because it was my last day. And little did she know that there would be a divine connection. We had such a divine connection for all those years. We were as close as we could be just in prayer. And I didn't know how much I needed her. But I really needed her. She really marked and changed my life in so many ways. And I believe we had a positive impact on her because she met her husband while she was here. And now she and her husband, Kelly, are leading and ministering in prayer at Mac and Lynn Hammond's church. And there's a lot more to that story about her destiny. It's really interesting. But I wanted to encourage you with that as you pray, however the Lord wants to do it, you know, He is not single-planed like we are. While He can be very focused, and yet that single, His single focus has impact on every level. His focus, he can be so focused on you as if there was nothing else, and yet because He understands how you are connected to everything else or how someone else is connected to everything else. He had her praying for me, and yet it was connected to her. So how does that work? I don't know. He's God. But what we're supposed to do is have faith in the fact that He is God. So none of our prayers fall short of affecting each one of us in our lives. Even if it were nothing more than our edification and our strengthening and our maturing and coming closer to Him and the joining of our faith with others who are praying over the same thing. I don't know that in this day and hour that there's ever a time that we're the only one in the whole world just praying about something. You know, we're all connected. And what is that saying? It always makes me laugh as somebody says you're seven people away from knowing or being related to, 6 steps away from knowing Kevin Bacon or being related to Kevin Bacon. I don't know. That was kind of a funny thing that went around. But if we're only a few steps away from knowing everybody in the world, how much more can God, who knows these connections that are divine? It's amazing. So, I just want to encourage you with that. Now, the other thing that I want us to have a few more minutes. So, I was thinking this morning and asking the Lord, okay, what is it that the charge that we have, our assignment as we're moving forward? I was trying to remember what we said last year. I remember, last year, I guess, we kind of summed up. At some point, I don't know if it was the end of the year, but talked to you about the challenges that Pastor George and I and our team have. And we were talking about it this morning a little bit as we drove in. And it's some of the challenges that we face now are bigger and broader. They aren't, but yet because of your prayers and because of the sensitivity of people like LeVar, and because I believe we're getting better at what we're doing, things that really are bigger and broader, wider, they don't seem as prickly. They're weighty, but they don't seem as prickly as some of the things. Well, Pastor said it this way. He said, when the Lord said, get your house in order. And so we dove in 2 years ago. And so with that, we set out, you know, we just turn over under every stone. Just look under every rock, right? That's all we knew to do because we hadn't been engaged in that at KCM across the board. So we started doing that literally, department by department, process by process, manager by manager. And, oh, my goodness, the first year, that's pretty much what we did. And there was some wild and woolly stuff that we uncovered. Oh, my goodness. We called it the crisis of the day, sometimes more than one. We were having two executive team meetings a day, morning and afternoon, to try to report in on what we had come across. Oh, my word. And it just, we were working 14, 16-hour days, 6 days a week. It was just crazy. I mean, there was one person that stole a bunch of maintenance records and held them hostage. You're going, really? Is this happening? Is this really happening? So, anyway, but the Lord is faithful, and there was a lot. The biggest thing was the strife between the ministry and the church. There wasn't a spirit of harmony and faith. Some people were downright mad about it. Other people just didn't like it. Other people didn't care one way or the other. Other people's like, oh, yeah, that church over there. Oh, yeah, that church. But that has come a long way towards being healed, and we've seen great progress, haven't we, Marla? And she's been a big part of it because she's helping bring people as a gatekeeper, and she's helping make sure that the people that come in don't come in with that kind of thinking and that attitude. Miss Iva has been a huge, huge help because she's got probably the largest single department, I guess, of anybody in the ministry or close to it. I can only think of one other one that might be as large as hers. And what a powerful change she has made down there. It was a woolly booger when you got down there, wasn't it? But just the devil. But the Lord has helped and changed things. And now we have such a great spirit of unity. And there's just, and it's, I expect to see even more changes. That's not all where we want it to be. But it's changing. It's changing. Praise God. We're thankful for all that. So now we've got a couple of big areas now that we're looking at. As Pastor said, we were looking under every stone, but then all of a sudden the stones started turning themselves over. Oh, well, look at that. What do we do about that? And then I believe, you know, we were saying there were things that should have been happening that we felt bad that we weren't doing, but some of them should have been happening all along, and for whatever reason, people didn't know to do it or whatever. But anyway, the Lord has really kept us, and that's the infrastructure. So the infrastructure, there's two aspects to infrastructure. One is the physical infrastructure, and that's the property here, and buildings and water, electricity, all the stuff that goes into the heaven facilities. It's facilities, it's vehicles, and there's so much that goes into that. It's just, if you're not involved in that kind of responsibility, you know about it. It's really surprising how the list can go on and on and on and on of what it takes. Well, about a year ago, it just seemed like things started coming apart. Well, that's the devil. Well, no. I mean, I don't think the devil's been any friend, but here's the deal. So many of these things are anywhere from 10 to 20 to close to 30 years past their life expectancy. I say that's the blessing. Yes. But now we're in a position to use our faith. The Lord just kept his hand on it to keep it from just coming apart. So but a lot of it has been happening at one time. So we are probably, if we, to do everything absolutely essential, gotta have it done, probably looking at close to $20 million. To do everything that we need to do, want to do, we're looking at over $30+ million. Okay, handful of things have to be done or we're in trouble with the government. And sort of EPA and sort of thing. The Lord has given us such favor. Oh, my goodness. The favor has been phenomenal, what God has done. It's marvelous, marvelous, marvelous what's happened. Things that we started finding out we weren't in compliance on, so we turned ourselves in. And we called in, we had an audit, and we invited them to audit. And because of that, it's opened up and shown us a lot of things that were wrong, but because we did it right and we, well, praise the Lord, there are no fines, which can be millions and millions of dollars. Okay, so no fines, no criminals, blah, blah, none of that. They've been very, very helpful. But you get a limited amount of time to get it right.
Amen.
And so it's, you know, been a half million for this and a million for that. And then, glory to God, we got a report last week that we got another $420,000 to add on top of all that. Woohoo! And so, so there's that, okay? So there's all the finance. Now, that doesn't account for anything that needs to be in terms of vision and expansion. And we've had some things come up where our television ministry is concerned. Some things are really shifting in Christian media. But things are also shifting out there in the media world, period. I mean, everything from Instagram, YouTube, all kinds of channels, satellite, cable, oh, Facebook Live. Your head could swim. It takes so much. What, you know, you just put a little post out on your phone, but we have departments of people that are working on that, okay? So there's all of that, and those kind of shifts, they require a lot of money. So there's that. And then there are other things that make a list for you, but that's just a financial piece, all right? Then there's another part to infrastructure, and that is the structure of your organizational chart. So think of that as kind of an infrastructure piece. It's a piece of how the ministry is structured. Well, we started working on that from day one, as I told you. We were doing the, oh, I've got to talk so fast. We have 2 minutes. We were doing the department by department. Well, we've been doing a lot, and things, the momentum is picking up here at KCM and so forth and so on. Now, even though there's still things left to do, people to hire, things to change, training to be had, okay, we're doing it, but we've got some processes in place, we've got momentum, we've got energy, we've got people learning and training, that's great. But now, international. And so some things international, or some things set up with the offices that were great 35, 40 years ago when they were set up, that are not looking, they don't work for us now. Things have changed. The world has changed in Europe. The world has changed in Canada. Governments have changed. Mindsets have changed. Laws have changed. Rules have changed. Staff has changed. And a lot of things have changed out from under what really was aware of it at case here. And so now we're looking to do those same things internationally. Talking to the people, making, building relationships, things that need to change. We don't even know what they are. This just started. This just started. The pastor said, you know, it's like the spotlight has swung and it just went, whew. And I mean, we wrote a letter about something, and I mean, the fur was flying, okay, in one of our offices. So while that's very uncomfortable and unpleasant, we thought, where did that come from? Now we see. And the Lord spoke to Pastor George, we're going to Ukraine. I mean, we fit a trip to Ukraine in a week. We didn't know how we were going to do it. My international schedule next year is enough to make your eyes cross. Let's see, 2 trips to Australia, a trip to Ukraine, and 2 weeks tour in Israel, and probably something to Canada. In addition to another set of first-year students and then second-year students that are coming in. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So there's that. So there's infrastructure, naturally, infrastructure, organizationally. But then the third thing, and this piece is really on my heart, and I pray about it every day, and that is for the people, the measure of health that's needed in our church and in our ministry. Right now I have a prayer list of people and it's not that it's massive, but it's people that I'm particularly close to. You know, I mean, I have direct connection to them, and so they're looking to me and Pastor for help where their health is concerned. Some things are very threatening, life-threatening. Others just are very difficult to manage life with. And so I don't like that. And so it's not just about a healing for that person and that person. The Lord's showing me something. It's like a spotlight there. Okay, it's time for that to change. It's time for that to change. So this morning, I was just thinking about some of these things. Said, Lord, what is the scripture? What's the word? How do we pray about this? In Psalm 105:37, He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Look at how those two work together. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and not one feeble person among their tribe. So all the financial, it's like a move. Now look at that in the among the church, the church was launched. What happened? Well, there was a move of God financially. It was so much money that nobody, it was a corporate work. It was a corporate financial work. It was so much money. They were feeding people in mass groups. They were able to feed people. They're selling. Nobody had needs. They're literally throwing money at the apostles' feet. And it was, but it was, there was such an environment, and it was a very testy kind of thing, because the glory of the Lord, where finances are concerned, and somebody lied about that money, and the glory of the Lord cooked it right there. And on the other hand, what did we have? There was such a corporate anointing that was in demonstration, that just getting close enough to Peter that as far as his shadow could be thrown, healing was manifest, deliverances, miracles, raised from the dead. And this went on for decades. You know, we think it lasts about as long as it takes us to read the book of Acts. But the Acts chapter 10 was already 10 years. I mean, stuff's happening. So I'm looking for, well, I don't even know yet. This is just kind of all starting to come together for me just in the last few days of seeing it differently. There's a corporate something where with finances and the healing power. Now, that's not that we haven't prayed and believed for those kind of things before. But you know, when the time and the place and the moment and everything is right there, all of a sudden it looks as though you've never seen it before, because there's something fresh from Him, that where our faith is something more from Him that our faith is reaching for. So as you pray with me and be sensitive and aware about those things and own those things, you know, whatever your assignment is in prayer, if you'll pray about those things, it will touch those assignments. Whatever the changes in your personal assignment in your life, as we pray about those things, He's touching your life. Amen. Amen. Well, if we, in a normal time, if this was a Saturday, we'd keep talking and praying. Let me see if there was any other scripture real quick that I wanted to share. I had others, but just read Psalm 107 when you get a chance. I won't take the time for it today. One last word that I thought was really beautiful as I was reading in the Passion Translation today. I really recommend that translation. It's just so wonderful for reading. But Psalm 133, this is our reading today. Is that right? Psalm 133? Yeah, but there wasn't, I'm not sure that's the... From this realm of sweet harmony, God will release His eternal blessing. From the sweet realm. And I think that's what I'm looking for and what we're talking about, stepping over into this. There's a realm for us to move into, or maybe a realm for us to come up, to swallow us up. That realm where He leads them out with silver and gold, and not one feeble one among their tribes. Don't you love it? Father, I thank You for these people, and I bless them in the name of Jesus for all that they've sown. May they reap a harvest, Lord, of a hundredfold in their lives and their families, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, your gifts today, if you want to grab a bag before you go, and it's kind of like going to Panera, you can pick two. Okay? So just pick a couple, anything you want up there. Just take a couple of books. Pick what, there's enough, I think, for you to have, most people anyway, to have two, one of each. No, I don't know. I'm not saying that right. Anyway, pick two.
That's what I'm have, two of each.
Yeah, we got plenty for you. No matter what you pick, we will have plenty of each of those. So I want to thank Miss Linda. Is Miss Linda Papa in here? I didn't see you. Is she here? Where is she? Oh, way over there. I didn't see you. Miss Linda and her team for doing all of this in such a lovely way, the bags and the belts and everything. So give them a hand. Thank you. And thank our team for all the goodies and so forth. So you're going to have to Hurry up. Now, if you listen.
Jacob going to Costco and shopping for the food.
Oh, I don't want to thank them. Holden and Jacob, my left and my right hand in school. The rest of the teachers are jealous because they say, I have minions, and they don't have minions. They help me. They say, no, it's just because I got to have help. So I'm so thankful for them. They're such a blessing to us. So, yeah, and in fact, it's okay with me, and I think it'd be all right if y'all want to wait until after church and come if you want to, because we don't want to be late going in. It's 10 till, so you do what you want if there's a long line. But just come, do what you want, swallow your muffin, drink a coffee. Just don't try to do it all and be in church in 10 minutes. Love you.